You are listening to Nonsenseology.
Let's get ready for some nonsense! Welcome to another week of Nonsenseology. We've got Austin Williams, Zach Young, and myself, Kevin Griffin. And because he did such a great job last week, we have got our good friend Brandon Adams back here in the Nonsenseology table this week with us. Brandon, welcome back, dude.
I thought you were going to say best friend or great friend, but you know what? I guess I'll take good friend. I
mean, he's a gentleman and a scholar.
Good friend? Oh, that's harsh.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
All right, well, I guess we're on WWE Raw SmackDown here.
Great, some excitement. I'm ready to talk some nonsense this week, aren't you?
Let's say it sounded like Bruce Buffer right there getting into it.
There you go.
Very enthusiastic. I think, so going into episode 6, I think we can kind of start calling our audience something, maybe nonsenseologists.
We definitely
have not earned that state yet.
Well, I'm going to just go ahead and say we did.
Okay, so what are you going to call them? What are you going to call them?
I just said it, nonsenseologists.
I'm the doctor of nonsenseologists.
That doesn't make sense. Zach, I hate you.
All right, well.
We are the nonsenseologists.
That's true, yes.
We are talking the study of nonsense.
So the nonsenseologers, right? Is that what make them?
Why don't you stew on that for another week or two, and we'll come back.
All right, guys. Sorry. We'll come back to that, and we'll tell you what we're going to call you. So,
hey, I'm all about speaking it into existence, you know, because if you say it and you believe it, it'll happen. But I do feel like it was a little half-assed with the name.
Right, wait, what do you mean? Yeah. I thought you were talking about Nonsenseology. I was like, I thought that was a cool name. You got had me confused.
All right,
that don't take much.
I had one beer. Okay, that is way too many for me.
Yeah, you ain't wrong.
Well,
what you got stewing up this week, my boy?
Yep, absolutely. We're going to keep it a little spooky, a little...
about spears again?
share some stories, kind of see what kind of experiences you guys had. So we're going to talk about the paranormal, kind of paranormal activity, ghosts, spirits, demons, etc. Not your, you know, Halloween.
Oh, talk about like the supernatural.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh.
So, and of course, like always, got to spit some facts at you before we actually get going. So what I found, evidently, 45% of Americans believe in ghosts and demons.
Well, hang on. Before you go any farther, let's talk about the guys here in this group. Do you guys believe in ghosts, demons, angels, anything like that?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Yes and no. I do think that there may possibly be some sort of paranormal something out there. I don't know if it's ghost or spiritual, whatever.
Deity.
But, yeah, deities or something like... But I don't know if you can classify it into one thing in particular.
Have you had any experiences that would make you believe one way or another?
Not necessarily. Nothing that really solidifies the fact. That's why I'm kind of indifferent about it.
So you're telling me when you were younger, there wasn't like some house on the corner or some like old tore down barn that you're like, we've heard rumors about this place. Let's check it out.
In your case, maybe a haunted basement or something.
Do you remember whenever we lived on Winding Way? Zach and I were neighbors growing up, by the way. But when we were on Winding Way, there was that house. It was an abandoned house, but it wasn't like real run down. That was across the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to, I mean, you might not have, but a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, we'd always talk about seeing a ghost inside that house and seeing somebody walk across the window and all that stuff. Personally, I guess I don't really believe in that kind of stuff, but I'm back and forth on it, kind of.
So, I mean, basically, because I feel like believing in the concept of ghosts and spirits and demons is also believing that there's a purgatory, right, where you get lost in the transition between leaving Earth and then going to either heaven or hell, right? I mean, that's essentially what purgatory is. You didn't find your way one way or another, so you're stuck here on Earth.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to
I mean, so I feel like that's what you get out of purgatory is these spirits, ghosts, demons that
so you think
have
like, so you think purgatory
unfinished business.
Yeah, okay, that makes it. Yeah. So you think purgatory is like a being trapped here on Earth or choosing to stay on Earth?
I mean, that's what.
Or you think it's something just killing time?
Yeah, No, that's what I've taken from it, from what I've heard and learned, is that, I mean, basically purgatory is, yes, a ghoul, a ghost or spirit that had unfinished business or just didn't make it to, you know, one side or the other, and by that I mean heaven or hell, so they are just stuck here on earth for eternity. So
I have something that just kind of popped in my mind because you said something about time. Do you think ghosts would be impacted by time? Do you think that they, I think that, I feel like ghosts would exist outside of time.
Yeah, because, I think they, if they do exist.
So with that, does that mean they're able to travel back and forth in time, like, ooh, permanently, or do they exist all the time indefinitely?
I don't think that they exist in time in the sense that they grow older or anything like that, or they do that, but I don't feel like they can travel throughout time and space. Now, that being said, kind of with what you guys were saying, I don't know what exactly I would describe the name as, but I definitely believe in bad energies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are people who get, I'm going to use the word possessed because I can't think of another word. I don't believe in, you know, like the scary movies type of stuff, like The Conjuring and stuff like that, where, you know, it's devils that are living inside of people. But I definitely think that there are some nefarious energies. And there are also some good energies, mm-hmm, in this world. Whether those are ghosts or spirits or whatever it may be, I do definitely think there's something.
So you could like walk, I don't know, just say like, just, I don't know, just some house or building, etc., that's, say, abandoned, and then you can like sense that there's a bad energy, being that something bad had happened in the past or something
for,
like
for
that.
For example, I have never and never will messed with a Ouija board.
Yeah, no, never.
And I don't want to be in the same I don't want to be in the same house as a Ouija board.
Yeah, we know you would.
I don't want to be any way or sort of associated with a Ouija board, because I think that if you ask for it and you open yourself up to it, there are things that will answer that call.
So,
and I think they're things that I want to mess with.
But I feel like if you were to mess with a Ouija board and it, say, something did answer to it, then obviously you become a believer, right? Or no?
Yeah, but what if it's more than them just answering it? So I've never personally, it's never personally happened to me, but I had a friend, I won't name his name, but I had a friend I played soccer with for a long time. We were best friends for a couple years. And one night I stayed over at his house, and they had a door that was locked. And he said that there was a Ouija board inside of it, and his mom backed him up, and that they couldn't throw it away, that it just kept reappearing, and that the Ouija board was in there, so they locked it in that room. And he swears that one night he woke up and that there were ghosts walking around the house, and when he got up, the ghost walked through that door into the Ouija board and disappeared.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And his mom backed him up. Now, they could have been full of shit, and that may be possible, but the fact that she...
That almost sounds like something you can't make up.
The fact that she backed him up, I definitely think there's some things out there that I hope I never meet in my
life. I wouldn't think that, I don't know these people, obviously, but I don't think they'd be like, Brandon's come over, let's really make him believe the story.
I was like 8 years old, so she would be a hell of a person and just really mess with me like that.
I mean, I think kids are way more susceptible to that kind of stuff, which is why people have a lot of experiences when they're younger.
Yeah.
I believe in the soul. I believe everybody has a soul. Everybody has a spirit. Because I just feel like there's more to us than just the biological aspect of us. Yeah. But I don't believe that these spirits or our soul, I don't believe that we come back as ghosts. I don't believe that if you die, I don't believe you exit your physical form and look down on yourself and you're like a ghost of yourself. I think that you would just be like released energy, if anything. So even if you were to come back to this earth, I don't think you'd be seen as a ghost. I don't even think you'd be able to be seen. So there could be a ghost sitting right next to me and I wouldn't know, like, what's up, Charles? But
this is kind of getting off topic a little bit, so we'll just talk about this just briefly and then segue back, but
it's all supernatural.
Do you think that I can't remember the word for it now, but basically you, so once you're done with the life you're currently living, you come back as, say, someone else or something. Yeah, or something else.
Some form of reincarnation.
Do we believe that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So once I'm done living this life, I come back as a cow.
No.
Why don't you believe that?
Because there's no evidence whatsoever.
There is some evidence.
Well, I mean,
all evidence that has to do with the afterworld. I mean, you can't prove
to deal with the afterworld. Yes, but
I meant afterlife, not you know, just in general. Like, there's no way.
But, of see, that's what I'm saying though. Is like, after I'm done with this life, and then I came back as a cow. I can't tell you that I came back as a cow.
Exactly. That's true. There is. Would some you remember measure it?
Yeah, well, see, I feel like that's part of it, is that...
So
there's some measure of uncertainty to his point, but...
I actually have a crazy concept, if you guys want to kind of get into that a little bit.
Aren't you?
What if... what if every person in existence, what if we were all...
Is this an original thought?
No, this is something that's been theorized for a while, but what if we are all actually just one being, right? And what if... Because life is perspective, right?
Oh,
life,
yes.
Life is what you make it, right? Yeah. So what if you guys are more or less all CIs, like simulations? What if you guys are all just computer integrated technology, and I'm the only thing that's actually real? And then in Kevin's situation, what if we were all the technology, but Kevin's the only one that's real?
Yeah.
And that's the only actual real true being in existence.
It's your own world, kind
yeah, of. Yeah, that it's crazy to think about.
To kind of break off on that, I took a psychology class my sophomore year at USI, and I wish I remembered the man's name. I was never someone that enjoyed that, you know, kind of topic, but he blew my mind with some of the things he would bring up. In the very first class that we had, and I hope I remember the exact wording of it, he presented an idea and said you have to, you know, argue for it or refute it. The idea is that we all live kind of like in the Matrix, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, to where, how do you know that we're not all brains in vats, and it's not just a being or a person or a computer just poking different parts of our brains and sending off all of these electrodes and energies that what we think are life? And so, I, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, that can't be. But at the end of the day, we don't know.
So 2 weeks ago,
we don't know.
2 weeks ago, whenever we had Mitch on the episode, we had actually talked about what's called the simulation theory. And that is pretty much exactly what you described. What if this is all just a simulation? We could all be in a computer and have no clue.
No, there's no way to know.
No way to know.
To jump back into the topic we were talking about, paranormal, I think I've refined my theory a little bit. I don't, to your point, I don't think that there's anybody that dies that gets stuck here or trapped here or has to stay here. I do think it talks about in the Bible that the devil will mess with you at every turn in any way that he can. And both the devil and God have their disciples. So I do believe in demons and angels. And I think that there's every possibility that there are demons in this world whose only job is to subvert us and to lead us off the path. So I think that's probably how I would describe what I believe.
So do you think these are demons that you can see, feel, or do you think this is just like...
I don't think you can see them.
Do you think that maybe these demons would be something like mental illnesses, like possibly like depression that are tugging at people, you know?
No, I definitely think that's a part of it. I think that's a facet of it. I do believe...
That's a scary thought.
That's what I describe as my demons.
I do believe in a form of possession. I don't know how far of a possession that would be, but just...
Or being restrained.
Darkness breeds within darkness. And I feel like the more that you shut yourself off, the more that, you know, people say it's your brain and your thoughts and everything try and tear you down. I've seen too many people that, you know, they're already struggling with depression and they put themselves in this hole and it just gets worse and worse. We had a buddy a couple years ago that same thing happened to, and I really believe that ultimately it was his downfall, that he pulled away, he started living out of his car, he started not seeing anybody, and that darkness breeds more darkness. And whether that's demons or whatever the case may be, I think it has something to play into that. When the devil sees somebody weak and sees that he can take him, he's going to take him.
Yeah, I could definitely man, it's just scary. It's that stuff's a scary thought. I think when it comes down to angels and demons, again, I believe in the I'm a religious person, you know. I consider myself a non-denominational Christian, just to kind of lay that out there. I do believe a lot in science and technology, and I believe that it's all one and the same. I think it's all part of one another. But for me, when it comes down to like the religious side of it, I think that the devil has no control over you if you don't give him any control over you. Like, if you're able to stay, like, I believe I'm a strong-willed Christian, you know, regardless of what kind of facts you come at me with anything, I'm still going to keep my faith, you know, and that's just because that's the way I am. Not that I'm going to ignore or blow off facts, but I think that my religion is backed by science. And with that, I don't know. What about people like Jeffrey Dahmer? People that are serial killers, people that have done just these horrific events.
Walking demons.
Yeah, are these people that have been possessed? Are these like demons that walk among us, you know? Like, how could somebody be that evil, you know?
There are serial killers and people that have just done completely crazy, out of this world things that if you listen to their interviews have talked about how they felt like there were voices in their head telling them to do this.
A lot of them are schizophrenic. They're insane.
There's a specific episode, and I remember, I wish I could remember where it's from, but there's a series on Netflix where they interview people that have been put in jail for life for killing people. And one of them was, there was just these two kids, and they were in their teens, and they decided to rob this house. And when they were in there, one of the teens said a force came over him, and he felt like every part of his being was telling them, I had to kill the people in this house.
It's called Interview with a Killer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. And there was no reason whatsoever that he had to kill him, and the kid went insane while he was in there and like chopped off four people's heads.
Yeah, killed, yeah.
Completely and brutally murdered them. And then when he came out, his other friend said it looked like the devil was on his face, and then he snapped out of it. And he says to the guy that did it, says to this day, he swears up and down, and his friend, that it was like a force that was not able to be reckoned with came over him. So I do believe in forms of possessions, and I do think that there probably are some people that are already weak-minded that maybe get taken over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, especially someone that's man, I don't know, because then that even opens up the question, is if they're weak-minded, or is it a mental illness that takes over them, you know? Because they're already, like, if you give in to, like, I have anxiety, and if I give in to that anxiety, my anxiety becomes so much worse. So what if that kind of, like, mental thought process of, I don't know, because serial killers are just so hard to understand. I mean, they're just psychopaths, so they don't
there's
even necessarily
feel... There's so many methods
feel...
of thought that you could take that there's... stem off of it.
The
brain is so complex. I do think some of it's mental illnesses that are out of control. I do think some of it is that, dude, some humans are absolute trash.
Oh, yeah, there's
absolute
monsters out
trash.
There.
Absolute trash. And I do think some of it is dark energies taking over people. I think it's so many things, but I think to your point, it's hard to know because the human brain is so complex.
There's just so much to it. So many layers.
It's all about chemicals, man. One chemical can be a little bit off, and you can be a completely different person than what you're supposed to be.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. To go to what you're saying about feeling energies, to go back to this feeling energies, I totally agree with that, 100%. I mean, I think if you walk into a room and the room's vibrant and feeling good, you're going to have a good time. You're going to feel great. But if you walk into a room with a bunch of, down and angry people, you're going to feel down and angry. If you walk into a room with a bunch of business people, you're going to feel businessy, you know? I think that applies to a lot of different aspects.
Well, I was going to segue into...
his novel he has
for us. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I was just kind of wanting you guys to, before I shared mine, I just wanted to see if any of you guys at all had, like, not even you personally, but just, like, I guess a friend or just something you know that seemed like it was, you know, dealing with a ghost or just any kind of paranormal activity. So, I mean, do any of you guys have...
There have been like weird things that have happened to me, and I can't necessarily recall like off the top of my head, but there have been times where like something drops in the other room, something falls off a counter, or like a feel like a door will open randomly. And whenever that stuff happens, dude, I don't even give it any thought. I'm just like, all right, so that's what's going on today. And I just try to ignore it because, you know.
Steve showed up again.
Ghosts are scary, bud.
Well, I guess if you guys don't have much to share, I'll tell a little story about the most memorable time I had encountered paranormal activity, or what I had perceived as paranormal activity. So I was back in high school, and this was probably around my sophomore or junior year. And I was with a bunch of my old high school friends. And there was this house on the north side of town. It's not there anymore, but it was called the Peck House. It was off of Peck Road. And of course, it's your generic, like what you would think of in a horror movie or something like that, where this house was like down a half mile drive, a gravel half mile drive, surrounded by just cornfields. And so me and my friends, we decided to go to this house on a weekend night, of course, because, I mean, why wouldn't you, as a high schooler, find out about something scary and just being stupid? And so supposedly the short story behind this house was that there was obviously a family that lived there, and they had a daughter, and supposedly the daughter was extremely mistreated and possibly even murdered by her own parents. Anyways, so we pull up to the beginning of the drive on this house, and super creepy.
Did you write, like, get this out of a book or something? Or
no.
Is this an actual, like...
This is actually... Yeah, this is
okay, actually... Good. It sounds like it's something like a movie or a book would be written.
Well, good, that. Good. I'm hoping I'm painting the picture...
Vividly.
Yes.
Swell.
So, anyway, we make our way down this half-mile drive. It's... Again, I'll remind you that it was surrounded with just fully grown corn stalks. Super creepy. We get up to the house, and it's just torn apart. And a huge tree had fallen through the front of the house. The basement was completely flooded with at least a foot of water. I believe one of the girls that was with us that night brought along a Ouija board.
Oh, no.
To see if the house was actually contained any kind of spirits or ghosts or demons or, you know, what have you. We make our way around the house. There isn't much out of the ordinary on the first floor. But on the second floor, that's when things get a little off and weird. First off, the staircase going up was like half... I mean, it was pretty much just torn to pieces because this is where the tree had fallen through. So you got to climb over a tree just to get on top. Once we get up to the second floor, we found pictures lying on the ground with this family and their daughter in what we believe was the daughter's room. And in the corner of this room was a rocking horse. And I just remember seeing this rocking horse starting to move back and forth. And meanwhile, while we're in the daughter's room, or what we believe was the daughter's room, half the other group of friends was playing with the Ouija board and what we thought was like a coat closet in the house. And I kid you not, after we had that little experience with that rocking horse, I mean, we were already flipped the hell out. And I vividly remember them playing with that Ouija board, and it was moving on its own, dude. It was terrifying.
Now, what if one of your friends was just messing with you and they never told you? Because that's what I would have done.
I would have
messed with y'all.
I don't know. Just if you would have been in this house and just seen it, and just, I don't, it looked literally like it was taken out of a horror movie. Yeah. And
I'm just such a skeptic when it comes to stuff like that, and I don't know if it's because I just don't want to believe or it's because I'm scared, but I don't know.
So after that whole incident happened, we pretty much were like, yeah, we're Audi 500. And I swore, as while we were just, you know, making our way towards the front, I heard what sounded like a little girl laughing.
That was actually just you crying. It sounds about the same.
But and I don't know. It's so, I mean, I, for the most part, I do believe in ghosts, spirits, etc. But at the, you know, there's another part that, you know, you're already going into these kind of situations already freaked out and scared. So is it actually paranormal activity, or is it, you know, your mind just playing psychological games on you? You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it could be a combination of the two. Yeah. I think you're letting your mind take a small, minute idea or thought, and it's sprouting that, you know.
The human, your mind is set to protect yourself. Your mind, your mind's main, you are meant, just biologically meant, to keep yourself alive. So whenever you're in a situation that you feel is scary, your brain is going to amplify that tenfold because it wants you to get out of this potentially dangerous situation. And that's not something that you're going to, that's not going to be something that you can, it's not even really something people recognize, but your brain, the reason that people have anxious thoughts, the reason that people remember shitty events from their past, but they don't hardly remember good events. Some people, not all people, but a lot of people that deal with that, it's simply because your brain is preset to look for the negative, to look for the bad in order to protect you.
Oh, that's so awesome. I actually learned something from you today. I didn't know.
I feel like you learned something from me every time you come and talk to me, bud.
But anyways, so this Peck house, it probably got torn down about 5 years ago now, and now there's a huge subdivision on the ground that house once was, and I'll tell you what, I would definitely not want to be living in that subdivision.
And ironically, sure, where his house is now, ladies and gentlemen, is that exact same subdivision. How does that come full circle?
No, that's not where I live, but...
So speaking of things, you brought up a good point, Zach, about this, and we've had a pretty good in-depth discussion, but speaking of things that are really odd and eerie and really just plain weird, my lighthearted topic of the table, for the table this week, is odd jobs that we have all had. I'm sure we've all had a pretty decent amount of working experience now, at least over a decade. So I'm curious to see you go around and what's one or two of the most odd jobs you've ever had, why they were so odd, or something that's happened at one of a job, something really odd or weird that's happened at the job you've been on, anything. Let me pick your minds and see what you got.
Oh, I definitely, my first job, I mean, the title of it's nothing out of the ordinary, but I was 15 and basically forced into this job, and it was a weekend dishwasher down at the Gerst House.
I knew you would bring this up. I knew.
For those who don't know the Gerst House, it's a German restaurant.
Very good German restaurant here in the west side of Evansville.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Basically, I'll just take you through it. So. I didn't want a job at all. My dad just randomly came
the
home.
Goat.
Yeah, randomly came home one day and said, "Son, I got a job interview
for you. Son, stop being lazy.
I got a job interview for you down at the Gerst House, and you're going to go." So I went. It was the easiest interview I've ever been to. I don't know if that's typically how just first jobs go, but
no.
I got asked two questions. I got asked, "Can you work on weekends?" Yes. "Can you wash dishes?" Yes. "You're hired." So anyway, dude, everything about the job, the job itself wasn't odd, but everything, I guess, surrounding it was odd. I worked with a Vietnam veteran that had maybe three teeth.
Yes. And boy, he fought for our country.
Yeah, and he, I mean, basically, leftovers that people didn't eat off their plate, he ate that food before we sent it through the dishwasher.
That man has been to Vietnam. He is being face-to-face with the Viet Cong, probably not eating in 5 days at times. He's thankful for that food.
Yeah, and anyway, he basically made the whole job just odd in itself. And below that, below the building, dude, that's where our uniforms were, and it was just the creepiest basement ever, dude. And the way you had to get down there was like this old rickety elevator that you pulled yourself up on. It was like a
dumbwaiter.
Sure, yeah. It was you stood on this platform and pulled up on this rope, and dude,
there were no stairs.
Not to get to the basement. No, it was. And anyway, got dressed down there every day for work, and yeah. I mean, that was my odd job. I mean, like I said, the Vietnam veteran made it very interesting. Told me all kinds of war stories and
built character.
Yeah, well, I mean, little say, yeah, I learned a lot from him. So
and then you went to go work for your father-in-law.
No, there was a couple jobs in between there, but worked at Wendy's. Again, nothing about
the mascot or.
Again, nothing about the job title was odd, but everything to do with the job was odd. It was a brandly new built Wendy's on the north side of town, and all of my high school buddies worked there. I don't know why they built this Wendy's and did not put cameras in it, but they didn't put cameras in it, and our manager. Our night manager was 18 years old. He was still in high school. And, dude, we would just...
Then you used to throw we
would
food.
Just, yeah, like... we would just tear that place apart. I mean...
That's crazy.
We would take raw hamburger patties, go in the back, see how many we could slap up against the ceiling and
now,
get
stuck.
Now,
what would you do with those patties afterwards?
Exactly.
Make it into chili.
I believe that, 100%. Yeah.
And,
well, that's disgusting.
Think about that.
Just... countless of nights I'd be washing or cleaning the lobby and my buddies just start throwing chicken nuggets at me and
guys that please like a fun job.
But we had a he wasn't I didn't consider him my friend, but he was a more of a on the hickish side, more country, and I was cleaning the lobby and he thought he had a better way to clean the lobby. He brought a garden hose. And he said, "This is how you clean a, this is how you clean a lobby, boy," and just sprayed down the whole lobby, just soaking wet with water.
Wow, that's you know, I thought I had a few like odd jobs in my time, but that's pretty impressive.
And I mean, we would mess with the chili all the time. Besides throwing the patties up on the ceiling,
that's
we would,
so gross.
That is very that's so gross.
We would take the mix of the chili. And pour
like the seasoning.
We would pour full like gallons of chocolate syrup and caramel syrup in it.
Oh yeah, you've told me that.
So when you cooked the chili, it was filled with chocolate and caramel syrup. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I hate you for it even more. I mean, I just
anyway that place was a good time. But after that, I mean, kind of settled down. Didn't really. Took my job somewhere seriously. But
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so too.
You can't believe you make the money you make now after the
facts. Can it, can any of you guys top that? Or you got something to equal that? Or?
I don't know if I can top that. I started working when I was like 12 years old, 12, 13 years old.
Same company work at today?
No, this was whenever I worked at the flea market in town. And I actually used to wash dishes for a couple of years. With my Aunt Jenny and
forgot about that.
My payment was like $20 a day plus a hot dog and a bag of chips for lunch.
God, you still work for the flea market.
Dude, I was super young. And then I started working construction when I was about 15. When I was, it was the summer that I was turning 16, so I was pretty much 16. Started working construction.
Going 10 years strong, huh?
Here we are.
For a long time. That was just during the summer, but my school year job when I was 15 years old was working at Chuck E. Cheese. And I had to be
had
to dress up as the mouse and do all the little dances and all that crap.
I beat you up in the parking lot.
It really wasn't that bad.
I definitely consider it an odd job.
It was odd, but that's not the first time. That was the first time I was a mascot. Not the last time, though.
Please, tell us more.
Well, hang on. Working at Chuck E. Cheese, man, I would constantly have to deal with... That place has just gotten out of hand. There's fights there all the time. It was just...
Yeah, because they allow alcohol at a kid's place.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you're only supposed to be able to drink like two or three beers, and it's just the crowd of people that go in there. It's getting bad.
Pre-COVID.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, want to segue and talk about Chuck E. Cheese. Have you ever heard the conspiracy behind the Chuck E. Cheese pizzas? How they're misshapen and how they
take the old ones and put them back together. That is such a freaking lie, dude. That is so stupid. And anybody that believes that is just silly.
How much is Chuck E. Cheese paying you to say that? I mean, you guys been there for a while.
Me and Chuck E. got a thing going.
Let's
but
just break
invested
the old
in the stock.
It's old pizza. Just tell the truth.
I saw a picture of
I hear
like
it's good, though.
It looks like an old pizza was stuck together or some shit like that. But dude, again,
did you ever hear that yourself?
News. Yes, I've heard that.
When you worked there, did you ever hear that?
No, because if someone brought me a pizza and they're like, "I think this is another pizza put together with this pizza," I would probably smack them. I would have to. I would be like,
I like
you
that.
You don't deserve to be here right
did
now.
Did you ever bring people pizzas in your Chucky suit?
Yeah, actually I did. Yeah, for like kids' birthday parties, I would bring them cakes and crap like that.
God, did you have to learn? Like, did you have to learn? Like,
learn little dances and stuff? Yeah, I did.
Well, how'd you know I was going to ask that?
Because that's everybody asked.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I had to learn little dances, but that wasn't even the hardest mascot job I ever had. The hardest mascotting job I ever had.
He was the eagle.
No, I didn't do that. I was past the whole mascot thing after I was like 17. I was working at Skate World, which was a roller rink here in town. And their mascot is a kangaroo, a skating kangaroo. So inside this big-ass mascot uniform, and it's got a tail and everything. And
oh,
I
that's
sit there
perfect.
And skate around and dance with the little kids and do my little dance and
why,
stuff.
Why is he... Has he gotten a background check for doing this shit? Like,
Austin, do you mind if I ask you a question?
What?
Why, little kids?
Would you go to Skate World ever again after how you left Skate World?
Wait, hold on. How did he leave?
Let's not even
skate
get
world?
Into that. No, because I'll get in trouble for talking about that.
We'll talk about this offline.
I tried to go to Skate World, and Austin refuses.
Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even talk about that.
We'll talk about it offline.
The mascot, the costume was involved. Let's just say that.
It was not involved. I dated my manager that worked there, more or less.
Oh,
that was,
okay.
That's
well,
pretty much the summary of that. And it's like her family that owns
we'll
it.
We'll so get into just, this later.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's pretty good, though.
And then I would say, like, my job now is really, really dirty. You know, that's just part of it. But I would say, like, the most disgusting job I worked was working at Harp's Pet Store.
Yeah, that's when you had all the snakes.
Yeah, I love animals.
Good God, love animals. You picked the worst places.
I worked at Harp's, and that was really cool. I loved working there. That was whenever I was interested in studying, like, biology and herpetology and all that other stuff. So learning, you know, going in there and learning about all these animals and getting to play with animals was super cool. I got along with this huge
iguana.
Well, there were two iguanas in there, but they were mean as shit. I think it's what's the name for the a macaw? It was a huge macaw, this really big bird that did not like anybody else in the store, but she loved me for some reason. I had a beard. She'd come up and clean out my beard with her beak and sit on my shoulder. She would always get excited, and she would literally shit down my back every time I got her out.
So basically, you'd be like, your mom would be like, Austin, you need to take a shower. I'd be like, no, I got this macaw down at the workplace.
She'll take care of me. Yeah, she cleans me up real good. But, you know, there was rats and stuff. There was feeder rats, which was gross by itself. But, like, there was rats that I had to take care of. Sugar gliders, gerbils, ferrets, lots and lots of reptiles, and tarantulas. I don't like tarantulas. Not going to mess with those. But I would play with the snakes all the time. Like, they had a 7-foot-long red-tailed boa, and I would always carry that big guy around.
I'll never forget your snakes.
Yeah, that was pretty freaking cool. So,
Brandon, what you got?
I don't know if it's necessarily an odd job, but I've done a lot of different jobs. So probably the one that most people have never done or thought about doing, I was for about 9 months an usher at the Ford Center. And I did it...
Well, I'm sure you saw some odd and interesting things.
I did. I very much did. It wasn't a job that paid well. I got paid minimum wage. But the reason I did the job is about a week and a half before the new month started, we would get an email saying, hey, this is all of the events that we're doing for the month. Tell us which ones you're willing to work. So I got to see for the 9 months I worked there any show, any concert, any game that I wanted to see. And really, once I sat the people down, you know, in the first 30 minutes, I mean, I couldn't sit, but I got to stand at the top and watch the show.
Okay, so you were like a seat usher. Because when you said usher, I was sitting there thinking like a car person.
No. Yeah, no.
You're
like
thinking valet.
You go into Ford Stadium, they're standing at the top, and they show you where
Right, show you where you're at. Yep.
Yeah,
I
got to see
Kenny Chesney. That's the easiest job ever.
It was. It was super easy.
I'm smart, but I'm dumb, guys. I'm so sorry.
I got to see so many different people doing that. So it was... I saw some interesting things. I saw some pretty funny drunken fights that was nice. I saw one dude fall down the stairs, ass overhead, like 4 times because he was too drunk to get down the stairs. Thankfully, not in my section, so I didn't have to deal with him. But that was probably my most unique job. It was definitely not one I did for the money.
When did you have this job?
I'm wanting to say it was early 2016, towards the end of 2016.
College.
Yeah. I was at USI. Then the other one was Pizza Hut. There was one, or not, sorry, not Pizza Hut, Papa John's. There was one particular time I delivered a pizza to USI, to Eagle Village. I walked up to the door, and the things that I was offered for a tip would blow your mind. I was offered marijuana 3 different times. Was offered to get tipped a gram, you know, just to, you know, because I brought the pizza. Walked into another apartment and they were doing gravity bongs on the island and offered one of those. I went to another USI apartment and a girl answered just in her bra and underwear. And there were 2 other girls in there. They were just chilling. Saw some interesting people doing that job. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, I can imagine delivering to...
Did you accept any of those tips is what I'm wondering.
He's not at liberty to disclose that information. We can talk about that.
I can neither confirm or deny. But it was appreciated that they offered those things. I will say that.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying.
Thinking outside of the box for the pizza delivery
guy. I get that. Absolutely. That's awesome. Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, about you? I mean, you asked the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm just curious. I'll let y'all go first. I've had probably one of the most unique jobs I've had that I'd still probably do to this day if I just had a little bit more time on my hands is being an Uber driver. So when Uber first came to Evansville in like January, February of 2016 or 17, I can't remember how long they've been in town, I got signed up to be one of their initial drivers. Obviously did Uber and, you know, other big cities, you know, Nashville, St. Louis, Louisville, things like that. And so I was excited when I came to Evansville, definitely jumped on that. And I had a great car at the time that got excellent gas mileage. So I did that off and on for probably about a year, year and a half. Just, you know, busy weekends, concerts would come into town, stuff like that. It was always a great payday. Good way to pick up some side cash. There may or may not have been a few times where I'd go out with my buddies at the bar and leave about 1 a.m. and then turn around and get in my car and turn on the Uber app, you know, make a few bucks on the way home. That was probably, and the people that I met off that job were definitely unique to say the least. I enjoyed the,
and it's always a kick. You still keep in touch once a week with them.
Probably. I don't do that. I've had some interesting stories, had some friendly female clientele, if you will, that have come out of that job. So that was probably the most interesting job that I've had. But as far as like odd jobs, I've been a butcher's assistant at a small grocery store in my hometown in Southern Illinois. That was a wild
job. I was going to say, that sounds horrific.
Yeah, it was not ideal. And I think the worst
part. Did they bring in the cows?
No.
The whole cow?
No, they didn't bring in no damn whole cow.
Oh, so you just got like the chunks of meat?
Yeah, like the chunks of meat, in the store, but like we'd have to, like, they'd come in the whole pieces, so like we'd be the ones that cut them and package them up. Like when you go to Walmart and like buy ground beef or ground chuck, like I'd be the one running it through the tube and wrapping it up in those individual like trays and foil and or wrap and stuff like that. Like, and then like the different pieces of steak and stuff, like they would come in like this big thing. We'd have to chop up all the steaks, them up, and sell them individually. Like, it was an interesting job. But I think the worst part about that job, the awful hours were one thing, but it was cleaning the equipment every day because you would, like, there's so much to clean. There's so many moving parts. And a lot of that is knives and shit. Like, I'd go home cut up every single day. So that sucked. But then, like, if you were... We also ran like a small deli too at the same time. So like you'd be, you know, like taking apart the deli slicers or whatever and the store's still open because if you waited until the store closed, you'd be there 30, 45 minutes afterwards. So you'd want to kind of, you know, 20 minutes before closing, kind of start getting the ball on things. Well, like it would never fail. Like I'd get almost all the way done cleaning and some little old granny would come in like 2 minutes still closing and be like, "Young man, can I get a pound of this ham here?" And so you'd have to slice it. They had a strict policy. You could never turn anyone away. So you'd have to slice the stuff up, and then you'd have to give it to her or whatever, and with a smile. And they have to go back in and clean up the whole damn mess again. I mean, that was I'd never worked in food service, but that was the closest I had been to any type of food service, and that was not fun.
I
have all the respect for people that work in food service.
Dude, it's hard.
Oh, thank you. And thanks, Brandon. Yeah.
I think that whole mindset of never turn away a customer is just ridiculous. Like, one, I mean, that one, you're going to piss off your employees. And I think that the biggest, the most successful companies take care of their employees. And that's always going to be my opinion. But, I mean, I remember working at Rockabar. I worked at this restaurant as a waiter for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Off and on, too, right?
No, consistently. Two your brother was straight. Yeah. Chance was real consistent, too. I went back there when I needed money, and they'd let me, but, like...
Pick up shifts and stuff.
Yeah. But I remember one time, the freaking North High School baseball team, yes, I'm calling you guys out for being... just, I mean, it's just douchey, dude. You don't... Whenever a restaurant's about to close... I'd worked a double, and I can say it. I mean, you know, I don't work there anymore, so screw you guys. I'd worked a double shift, and, you know, 13, 14 hours later, that's my own fault. I'm there to, you know, do what I got to do. Yeah, so it's cool. But at the very end of my shift, I'm talking maybe 10 minutes before we close, about 20, 30 people walk into the restaurant, and it's the freaking North High School's baseball team. Thinking that there's some important group of people coming in there, keeping me open for literally like an extra 2 hours. I was so mad. I was like, this is just awful.
So you were 10 minutes to closing, but they still made you stay open?
Yeah, they stayed for about an hour and a half, 2 hours afterwards, and I just had to sit there and wait for them. And the dude, the host of it, the dad or whatever, he was kind of a dick, too. He was like, well, where's our food? What's taking so long? And it's like, dude, we had closed the kitchen. Everything was just about put up.
I'm surprised they let them in there.
Well, the owner, Randy, who no longer owns it, thank God, because he's just a dick. Like, I hope you hear this. I mean, he would not turn away a freaking dollar, man.
Yeah.
He was a cool dude, you know, and, like, he would take care of you. One time I had a party come in, and, like, he voided, like, he knew the guy, so he wiped, like, he gave them all their meal and everything for free.
Wow.
And then he gave me a $100 bill as the tip because I wouldn't have made any money otherwise. So he was a cool dude like that.
Yeah, but there are some things.
But yeah, man, you don't freaking... If a 30 top walks in 10 minutes before
close... I couldn't even imagine.
Nah, no. Y'all gotta go. You're gonna make some people mad, and that's just not cool.
Yeah. Dude, like, I can't tell you how many times we're gonna... Papa John's. So, they don't do it anymore, I don't think. But when I worked there, which was in, like, October of 2016 to, like, May of 2017, Friday and Saturday, they were open until 2:30 a.m.
Oh, no.
So you could get pizza. I mean, you could call, and this happened lots of times. You know, we would, you know, kind of same thing.
Yeah.
You're talking about at Walmart, you know, kind of breaking some stuff down. I mean, it could take an hour to an hour and a half if you start right at closing to break everything down. And plus, at the end of the night, instead of, let's say, there being 12 employees in the store, there's probably a manager, one person up front, and one, maybe two delivery drivers. Yep. So you've got to do all that yourself. And I cannot tell you how many times 227 would come around 228,
and we would
get a double for like a 30-minute run to do both of them and come back to where we wouldn't even get started on half the stuff until 3 a.m. There were at least five or six times in the 6 months I worked there that I was there until 4 a.m. An hour and a half passed, making $6.50 for that extra hour and a half because you don't get paid anything being a delivery driver.
That's crazy.
Jeez.
I honestly think one of the best things that anybody could ever do for their child or just you as yourself is working some sort of food service job for at least 6 months. Because you people that never do it don't understand the level of BS that you have to go through on a daily basis, and you just have to bite your tongue. Because at the end of the day, no matter who you are or where you work, the customer's always right. And the owner only cares about the money. They don't really care about the employees. They can hire a new person within 3 days.
Man, it's people just don't have any couth nowadays. And it's a lot broader than just, you know, even in the restaurant aspect. I mean, it comes down to anything. I guarantee you, dealing with banking, you probably deal with people that... You're not one of the tellers, but, you know, you deal with people that come in there and think they know what they're talking about. Yeah. It's like, dude, you're a freaking idiot. Like, shut up. Yeah. You don't know what you're saying. Or working with construction, just having... If you know you're going to have people come into your house to work on the outside of your house, if you've
leave
got,
alone,
if you,
yeah.
not even that, I'm cool. I'll talk to you the whole time I'm there. Clean up your yard. Don't leave a bunch of dog droppings, animal droppings all over the yard, because guess what? Those boots, those are the boots that I wear in my personal vehicle. Those are the boots that I have to wear, you know, and it's just the little things that people don't think about. Taking care of people at restaurants, taking care of people at fast food places.
Or that people just don't care about.
Yeah, or people just don't care. It's one of the two. I feel like Like, dude, if I was outside of construction, I would never once think about, oh, man, I really need to clean my yard for these guys. Maybe I would, but I don't know, dude. I've come to not expect much from people, so.
No, that's fair.
That's a tough lesson to learn, for
sure. It is.
So, we'll swing right into the last topic here. I believe that's coming from Brandon.
Presented by our guest today. Yeah, okay. So, mine's completely on a different path, so... my question is to you guys, you know, with the day and age that we're in, to where everything is so much, I want it now, I need it now. It's very, we came to, you know, being gratified immediately. Do you feel like the idea of marriage and being in a monogamous relationship, the idea of the nuclear family, the idea of, you know, getting married and working through it all and not getting divorced, do you feel like that's still a strong idea, or do you feel like we're going more towards being in casual relationships, being in relationships where we just fulfill each other's needs, you know, just kind of being more open and being with whoever? What are your thoughts on that?
Me personally, I feel like from what I see, and I guess just personally in media and just, I guess, just everything we take in on a daily basis, I think it's half and half, just because I still do know a handful of people, quite a bit of people that are still looking for that, you know, I guess what you would call now a traditional marriage where, you know, you're just faithful to each other and until the day you die. And then then there's that other half where they're just like, you know, if I find someone cool, if I don't, that's cool too. And then obviously, like you said, there's people that, well, I think I know a couple, which I'm not going to name, that are married and are kind of like open to, you know, hey, if you find this person attractive, you know, go ahead and be with them. That's not going to hurt me at all. So I don't know. I think it's like 50-50, but obviously me, I'm still down the traditional path of, just wanting to be married to one person, be faithful to them for the rest of my life, just because that's how I was raised, and you know, that's what I personally want to do. So I don't know. I, you know, they can do their own thing, but that's not me as far as, you know.
Isn't marriage in itself such a wild concept?
It like, is.
Just to think about
it, the idea of it.
You're basically, and again, that's I would love to get married one day and have a family and all that good stuff, but I think the idea of like, I just think that the idea of committing yourself to one person for the rest of your life until the day you die is, that's interesting to think about at the very least, you know. That's a heck of a commitment.
It's just a big commitment.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something that I want. It's not something that I'm trying to bash or anything, but it's just, again, like a cell phone being able to reach somebody across the world instantly. Like, it's just something that's kind of interesting to think about. I think marriage is 50% of marriages in a divorce nowadays.
Maybe even more.
Yeah, maybe even more.
I would say it's like 60 to 65 at some point.
Heck, who even knows? With this whole COVID thing and people being constrained to their houses.
I think people, again, with, you know, even... people look for instantaneous gratification. Thank you.
Big words.
Yeah, big words there for me. So with people looking for that kind of gratification, yeah, and again, even with like the advancements in technology, you want to know something, you can Google it, know it in a second. I think people are looking for a constant happiness that's just there all the time. Whenever people start, you're exposed to a lot more people nowadays because of technology. You are exposed to millions and billions and all kinds of people. But people back in the day, man, they weren't exposed to these millions and millions and millions of people. They had, if you got into a relationship, you know, and you're in a smaller town, you have, like, you don't have to make it work, but it's much more idealistic to make this relationship work and form a bond with that partner than it is to go out and search for somebody else because you don't have that kind of exposure. Nowadays, dude, you can download a Tinder app and be able to find hundreds of thousands of singles within 100 miles of you in no time.
And I guess it's how you, I don't know, how you look at it, too. I mean, because the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you can categorize them as many different things. You can categorize them as your best friend, your wife, or your husband, or your partner.
Side piece.
I mean, just so many.
That's what I call my old lady side piece. Oh, man.
Tell her you said that.
Because,
I mean, you're going to, and not everyone, but a lot of people in your friend group are going to get married and have children and, you know, kind of not necessarily move on from friends, but just move on with life. And then, you know, say this person over here who's, what about that word? Monogamous.
Yeah.
They're, I don't know, they're just going to maybe I'm wrong, but find themselves more lonely because the majority of their friend group is, you know, in that traditional path of...
Well, I think monogamous is a single person relationship, correct? Is that where, if you're in a monogamous relationship, that's where...
No, it's with your... Like,
that's where you're,
yeah, one
you're,
person,
you're
yeah.
just with your partner.
Your standard.
So that is your traditional.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, what I was saying...
I get what you're saying, though. It's the opposite kind of what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So the person who's not wanting to follow that traditional path and then say they have that friend group, that majority of them do follow that traditional path, it's just like they're going to find themselves kind of maybe in a rut or lonely or...
I just think the reason I brought the topic up, I feel like more and more with the technological advancements that we've came through with social media, with everybody portraying. I mean, you get on social media and you can really start feeling down about yourself and about your life because all you see is the most important milestone parts of your mm-hmm. life, and what you don't see is all the bullshit that yep. we all go through.
Whenever you're looking... Sorry, go ahead.
I think that... we're getting more and more to a point to where if it doesn't suit our needs, we can just throw it away. And so I think it's gotten to a point to where people aren't willing to stick through it as much, and divorces are getting higher, and people are just either easier
when,
to throw things away because
the grass
is always
Not,
greener
yeah,
on the other side.
The grass is greener where you water it, if you ask me. But yeah, to go along right. with that... the word you were looking for earlier is polygamist. That's somebody that is in dates or is married to more than one people. I'm sorry, Brandon. What were you just saying? Because I actually had something to add on to that.
Talking about social media.
The grass is always greener that you see the best.
Oh, yeah.
No,
the whole social media thing. I think the biggest issue with social media and comparing yourself to any aspect of social media is if you go to somebody's social media page, all you're going to see is the highlights of their life, the highlights of their day.
Well, it's
you're
like
not,
a resume. It's only
yeah,
the good
it's only
shit.
The good
yeah.
stuff. You're not going to see all the freaking down and dirty bullcrap that they have to deal with. You're not going to see all of the crazy thoughts that they have. And we're all humans. We all have them.
Everyone
we all
has skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, we all, you know, do shit, think shit, act out certain ways and do stuff that we're not proud of. But we're not going to go and post about that
yeah.
on social media.
Well, some people
sense.
Do. It's a little trashy.
Yeah.
There are some.
You're right.
This guy I have on Facebook, Brandon Adams, this dude.
Brandon,
yeah,
oh my gosh, he's a character.
Zero filter. This man airs out all his dirty laundry. It's equivalent to white trash almost.
Well,
you
that's just 100% true. I'll say a kind of maybe an unpopular opinion, maybe not. I personally think that social media is more negative than it is positive. And,
yeah.
that, and me saying that... I'm fully pulled into and sucked into social media. But I feel like social media, seeing your friends doing well and seeing them succeeding is great, but we all follow, you know, celebrities, influencers, or people that we kind of half know, whatever the case may be. And at the end of the day, you get on there and you see them, maybe they're on this trip, or maybe they got this new car, or maybe got this raise, or whatever the case may be. And at least for me, a lot of what it does for me is feel like I'm unhappy, or feel like it makes me just not content where I'm at. And I feel like we're always in a state of uncontentment because we see everybody else and we only see the highlights of what their life is, instead of realizing that
so,
we all go through highs and lows.
Yeah, so basically like seeing, all right, so you're in a marriage and maybe you're not... not as happy as what you'd like to be, and then you say you follow this account that is a married couple super happy and they're doing all these things that you would be loving doing with your current partner, and then you're just not getting that, then that's where you find that uncontentment. And
man, it's happened all the time. How many times have we seen friends that if you just look at their social media or even seeing them when you guys are together, when you go out and do a friend group hangout, and things look perfect, and then out of nowhere they break up, and then you find out all of a sudden there's all these things behind the scenes, but looking on their social media and looking on that public image that they put out, you would never guess.
I think
all a facade.
I think the most toxic thing for relationships is
social media.
That's
social
what I was
media.
Just saying, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I stepped into the other room for a second, so sorry about that, but I dated somebody that was very, very much into the whole social media thing, was very... You know,
worried about public image.
Yeah, worried about not even public image, because she was just kind of goofy, but she was always worried about what was being posted, what was online, what was being said. And it just drove me nuts, because I was like, how can you dedicate?
And just on her phone
24/7. Yeah, just constantly on her phone. Like, in my opinion, that's rude. You can't, if you're with your significant other, not that you can't be on your phone, but like,
within reason.
Yeah, there's got to be like a reasonable amount of it, but whenever your life is just consumed by social media, dude, it's childish. It's kind of annoying. Like, if that's your hustle, if that's how you're making money, kudos to you. Keep it up. That's awesome. But like, for the average person out there, dude, social media is so freaking toxic.
And that could be on a whole different. But I think just in the terms of going back to the original point that Brandon made. That I do think as time goes on and we see people that are younger than us getting married as well. Zach is the only one around the table currently that's married. But I think we see, as time goes on and ourselves get married, that it's going to be more and more of a common thing for divorce to be normalized, just for the simple fact of that people make it so easy. There's so many like advertisements for divorce lawyers. If you even hint about wanting to get a divorce, odds are your friends are going to be like, yeah, like you can do it. You can be independent. Where it's like you need to – that kind of stuff needs to also be a situation where you evaluate it and actually put time – both parties put time into making effort and figuring out what is wrong, or what is it something that's worth fixing. What are the reasons as to why we got together in the first place, instead of just immediately jumping to, let's cut this off and go to a new one, And I think that, kind of touching back on what I just said too about, I think that people in our age demographic are just so quick to just give up and go on to the new one, that you're going to see more and more people that have not just one divorce, but two divorces or maybe even three. Yeah. I mean, like, because if you can keep doing it and you can get a good divorce attorney on retainer that'll cut you a solid deal, just cut your losses and move on.
Ross Geller has three divorces.
Shut up, Zach. I think divorces are fairly easy to come across nowadays. And I think the biggest issue with people is that immediate gratification has made people less and less patient.
Yeah.
And, you have to be patient with your partner. If you really want to make it work, you have to be patient. Like, you have to be patient.
You got
to
be willing to compromise and give
it
to
you. Yeah, man. You got to be willing to freaking bite your tongue and be like, all right, and just just kind of roll with it at times. You can't always, it's not always going to be your way, because it's just not a two-person thing.
That's, not every fight is worth speaking up about. You gotta brush them under the rug.
Sometimes you just have to be like, okay, well, you know what, I'm sorry that I didn't mean for it to be like that. I was an ass. I apologize. Sometimes.
Or agree to disagree, or just move on.
Because, if you care about that person, dude, it's not worth butting heads. It ain't worth stressing about. Like, at the end of the day, if you guys care about each other, then that's what should be important,
And on that note,
Brandon, you got anything else that you want to throw in on that topic? It was a good discussion point. We haven't really talked about that much.
I just think it's going to be interesting to see. We keep going down the path of instant gratification. You can get everything so easy. You can, now you don't have to go to a Blockbuster. You can just rent a movie in 2 seconds off of Amazon
Netflix
Prime
or
whatever the case may be. You can call somebody on the other side of the world instead of having to send a direct mail to them. You can do all of these things that are so instant gratification, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes relationally. Down the line. I do see, it's not something that I like or that I enjoy. I do see, though, relationships becoming even more transactional. Even more, hey, you fit my needs, I fit your needs. Maybe it's not so much about love, but it's about, us just working together in life, or maybe, hey, let's not get married, let's just have kids because it could end, or hey, maybe I don't want to be in a relationship, but let's just have sex every now and then. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I see it going down that path. I think it will. How quickly it will be, that's the question. But it was interesting to see, to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, Brandon, I mean, once again, we appreciate you coming back to Nonsenseology for another week of roundtable topics. And, you know, I think that if the fans like it, we may just have you on again sometime in the near future.
Hey, I'd love to come back. This was a good time. Good time and good topics. I love talking about some nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boys, you got anything else?
I think I'm obsessed with the word absolutely today.
I bet you are.
So, anyway, well, guys, hope you enjoyed the nonsense we had to shit on you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Kevin, plug those socials.
Just follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Nonsenseology. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to us. Turn on those notifications. We put new episodes up every Monday morning, so be sure to start your work week at the right with a little dose of nonsense.
And as always, catch you later. How about that?